Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. Tonight, we're going to be interviewing my homies out of Project 13, Paranormal Investigations. So, if y'all not scared, break us off a call. I'm sure they got some things y'all going to want to hear. I mean, I can't wait to get them on the show to ask them about 35, 40 questions. Something along them lines. No pressure. Anyway, the call-in number is 646-929-2037. Once again, call-in number 646-929-2037 is call-in number. If you're a little too shy to call, too terrified, whatnot, feel free to email me, dick@smoothdrama.com, and I, of course, will answer your questions. No problem. Also, I do a social network. I love to talk to you on the day-to-day basis. I do a little social networking. You can hit me up. You don't have to be shy. I'm not. You can catch me on Facebook, Twitter, tagged, MySpace. If you're on Facebook, tagged, or MySpace, I am Dick Hugger. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I am Smooth Drama there. So look me up. I don't bite. I don't even nibble. I'm like the grandma with dentures. That didn't come out right. Anyway. Oh, man. Had big news today. I know, dude, just breaking news out of the blue that y'all sit down and be ready for this. The Iraqi defector, the one who told everybody about the WMDs in Iraq, comes out and says, you know what? I was lying about that. He was straight up lying. Matter of fact, he was interviewed in the Guardian newspaper. Al-Janabi, whatever. He was speaking about how he wanted to see an end to Hussein's brutal regime. And his quote is, maybe I was right, maybe I was not right. They gave me this chance. I had the chance to fabricate something to topple the regime. I and my sons are proud of that, and we are proud that we were the reason to give Iraq the margin of democracy. Now, one, I always think it's funny that we come out 10, 11 years later talking about, oh, yeah, we lied. We kind of knew that, Al. People with common sense knew there were no WMDs. People with no common sense did not know. See how that goes? Common sense people knew there were no WMDs. That Iraq wasn't the fourth or the fifth or the sixth biggest army in the world. The fearsome army of Iraq that lost in, what, 12 hours or some shit like that. But thank you. And I'm sure all the people who are in your country now experiencing that democracy that you claim, that you aren't back there enjoying. It's funny how people who escaped the country, they're like, yes, we brought democracy to our country. No, you didn't. I don't think the people over there feel all that free. But whatever. Ignorance knows no bounds. Sort of like, now I rail against folks who make no sense and the priorities. 62-year-old Dadeville man arrested in connection with poisoning of the historic Tumor Corner oak tree, which, well, there's a bunch of trees. They're very old, and they're at Auburn University. Why would a 62-year-old man do that? Well, because it's at Auburn University. And, you know, people who aren't from deep down south may not understand, once again, the ignorance that goes on down there. Auburn beat Alabama. They take their college football very, very seriously down there. Like, I want to kill oak trees because you celebrate under them. Mind you, this is an individual who was smart enough to call a radio show last month claiming he poured herbicide around the 130-year-old trees because those trees are the scene of celebrations of Auburn sports victories. Now, I don't even have to say how stupid that is, because most folks with common sense would see why would you kill a tree because your football team lost? But, hey, I guess you taught those people at Auburn a lesson. I killed your tree. Very, very intelligent. Very intelligent. Now, speaking of intelligence, got people in Ohio. And this is when I say intelligence is on call. You got a mother who was breastfeeding who was kicked out. She was kicked out of the mall, well, asked to leave because she was breastfeeding her child in public. They of course, the people, Fairfield Common officials, they acknowledged the incident, but they said there was no wrongdoing. They of course came out with their official statement. The mall at Fairfield Common fully supports mothers with infants. Yesterday, we did receive several complaints from shoppers regarding a mother being overexposed while breastfeeding in a common area. And I wonder, is it really that serious where you go ahead on, you got to go ahead on and break out the you got to go home because we saw a little bit too much cleavage? You want to talk about some folks? I don't even get that, but I guess if she just dropped her bra and just threw a titty out, you know, sort of like, I know people are sensitive about titties, obviously from the whole Janet Jackson thing, but I don't get how a breastfeeding mother is so offensive to the public where she's got to leave the mall. You start talking about intelligence, which is on call here. I guess maybe I'm in the minority. And speaking of minorities, I got one last thing here before we go on break, get my homies on. As a man, you know, we got these senseless lawsuits out here, and I don't understand how these things can get to be heard. You know, people, there are real problems in the world, but you'll get a guy like 48-year-old Anthony Bingle, who is suing his boss because he said her voice makes him vomit. He said that she keeps talking to him, and her voice, it triggered a sickening feeling in me, and it made him throw up, and it made his prostate bleed. All I can say is, pussy. I mean, what's wrong with you? One, how do cases like this still get to be heard or seen? I see this. I'm throwing the shit out. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm throwing it out. It's got to go. But that's just me. And the fact that he would go out in public and, her voice, it makes me throw up. Really? Homie, you need to grow a pair. That's on the real. You need to go outside. You need to lift some weights, do some push-ups, something. This ain't being sick. I mean, this is just, there's something wrong with you. If somebody can say something to you and make you throw up, and not because they violated you in any kind of physical way, it's just you so mentally soft. Anyway, pussy. On that note, going into our first break before we bring our guests on, this is HISD, Houston Independent Fifth District. Come out and play.
Education and opportunity are here for the asking. Education and opportunity are here for the asking. And Houston rewards those who work. Houston is holding on to the traditions while welcoming the new. We're looking forward to tomorrow. And we're ready to fly, 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 fly.
Drive block to block, it's loud enough. The people on the street nod to the rock. Keep the windows down, surround like an intercom. Spit with a megaphone, glide over CD-ROM. Standing on top of savvy Yukon, wheels roll the ground. They come out of households like, what's that sound? 18s in the back, groundbreaking the track that kick like hacky sack. We cruise with jewels through the hood of neighbors. On the roof, rapping for your vote like the mayor. Bill White on the mic, I kill right player. Murder some slow friends and light bright player. Losing my balance, we hit the corner fast, pinky. ISD, my dogs like Winky Dinky. Shuffle they feet, the Hollywood hustle. Chase down the street, trying to catch a peak of the heat. Come out and play, come out and play. Ride all day.
Come out and play, play, play. All my people say,
turn the volume up, cause it's loud enough.
What?
Turn the volume up, it ain't loud enough.
So come out and play, we ride all day, ride all day.
For a long time, got a lot inside my mind. Peace of mind is undefined, but peace of mind stay on the grind. Speak the grind, speak the street, speak the blasting week to week. The trees beat plows walk, wind blowing big hawk, big pokey, big mo. Driving fast, moving slow, slow it down, volume down. Hello hood, look around. See them playing, see them serving, see them swerving, see them urban, see them bourbon. ISD, music, magic as an urban. Worthy to assist, man, fab, hit the brakes fast. L was a strap, damn, almost hit the brakes dash. Flash, flashing pictures of the hood till it's nothing left. Peace, spit, megaphone, rhymes till they out of breath. Out of plot, out of plans, out of land, I be goddamn. Hooders looking native to the south side of African. Take it back to Rebel Tracks, come on, play this song for that. ISD is here to say the weekends, we are back.
Come back out and play, play.
My my people, babe. Turn the volume up, cause it's loud enough. Turn the volume up, it ain't loud enough. Come out and play, ride all day, ride all day.
Damn, Scotty, why you spitting so atrocious? We in that FOPO, F around and get us posted. Popo's laying low in the cut to revoke this. Grand spit audio, they looking for the dopest. It's my third strike, I'm going down and they know this. Logo on the ride, peace of mind, where it's soldier. And they popped up quick, handcuffs to the wrist, smashed up on my fist. Now the people looking on from the streets getting pissed. Like, what the cup is this? One grabbed the megaphone, then he raised up his fist. It's looking like a public enemy rallying in Brooklyn. Thinking to myself, what the hell got into Houston? Doors coming open, windows getting broken. People rising up in the south and they spoken. The district, we want justice. The district, load up the buses.
The district, we want justice.
Good afternoon, America. This is Bobby McSnuggle, and we're live at the scene of the weekend rally. So far, there's been a sequence of events to take place here. I'm not sure what the outcome is going to be. The people are screaming, the weekend is near. We want justice. We want justice. There's been bloodshed and hostage standoffs. We will continue to give you worldwide coverage of this horrific event. From all of us here at HISD News, I'm Bobby McSnuggle reporting to you live. To all you guys out there in TV land, can't play the rap bars till you stop playing the sabotage.
Here from Project 13. Welcome to Smooth Drama, sir. How y'all doing?
Good, man. What's going on?
Not too much. What's going on with you?
Oh, you know, same old, same old. Working on the website, trying to get some more locations.
All right. Now, I got to ask y'all, what made y'all want to do paranormal investigations? And I guess before you answer that, introduce yourself to the people.
Right now, I'm Brian Rogers, one of the co-founders of Project 13.
I'm Joe, also a co-founder for Project 13.
Project 13.
Okay. And last but not least, we have
TJ.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, tell us why you wanted to get into paranormal investigations in the first place.
You know what? It's really, like, exciting. At first, it kind of, like, started off with just playing with a Ouija board. And, you know, everybody keeps saying, like, oh, it's so evil, you don't know what you're opening. And I've always been kind of, like, into that stuff, so... Once we started messing with the Ouija board, you know, we had, like, weird experiences after that. So we decided to go to, like, an actual haunted place. And one of the first places was the Whaley House out here in San Diego. We took the Ouija board out there and some weird things. Like, the board, you know, just kind of, like, working on its own. And so it got us to thinking, you know, why don't we videotape this stuff? Because we could tell people about our Ouija board experiences, not really believe us. So hopefully we could capture it on video, and then, you know, one thing led to the other, and then we kind of decided that, you know, let's try and do this on the side, see if we could get some haunted places, get some video, audio, and the rest is history, pretty much.
All right, so how did y'all come up with the name Project 13, and talk about the Ouija board, because a lot of us, like myself, I've never dealt with the Ouija board. So explain, what exactly do you do with the Ouija board after you tell us about your cool name?
You know, Project 13, a lot of paranormal investigators, they call their investigations cases or case files. And, you know, we call our investigations projects. Basically, everything we do is a project. Everywhere we go is a project. You know, we're not experts, professionals in any way. You know, we learn every time. We learn something new every time we do an investigation. And 13, unlucky number, represents, you know, bad luck. You got Friday 13th. So, to be honest, man, it just sounds pretty cool. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of, like, people out there, they call each other taps. Okay, that sounds really stupid, you know. But, I mean, yeah, you know, ghost hunters, you have a lot of people with really cool acronym names, and, you know, we're just like, we're Project 13, man.
No, like I said, it's a cool name, but...
Yeah.
You know, so, hey, whatever works. Now, the whole, the ghost hunters and all that, I had that thought of, like, Ghostbusters. I was like, well, y'all got three. I watched Ghostbusters. I could be your fourth black guy. And then I remember the black
guy. I don't know, man. When they got the black guy, everything went to shit.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. And the black dudes always die. So I got to.
You know
what?
That's a good idea, though. We should get one. We should get a black guy on the team. What do you think, Joe?
I'm all down for it.
Yeah, no, I mean, shit, maybe she'll get better.
I don't know about that one. I don't know. I mean, I like I said, I daydreamed about it for like 13 seconds, and then I watched a couple of your videos, and nope.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I mean,
it's a very interesting experience, I have to say. It's being in a room all by yourself in the dark, and knowing that you're the only one in there, and to hear something in response to a question you're asked was something that really throws us for a loop.
Yeah, I'm like, I'd rather just be at home by myself. I'm trying to stay away from the crazy people that are alive, and y'all seeking out the dead.
You know, it's funny, man. Like, the first time we used the Ouija board was actually in my old apartment, and I lived in, like, in the boonies. You know, so my apartment had a backyard, and we had the bonfire going, and I just whipped out this Ouija board out of nowhere with all my buddies there, and they thought I was, you know, out of my mind. And, you know, the Ouija board, like the little centerpiece, the planchette it's called, started catching on fire, and actually a close friend of ours, Kevin, is a huge skeptic. He was the first one to notice it, and that freaked him out. And that was actually, like, really cool to see that he was freaked out, a guy who doesn't believe in any of this. You know, just totally switched them around.
Nah, I mean, I believe in it. I just don't try to fuck with it.
He doesn't want to bring it home with him.
Yeah.
You know, man, I've been pulled over by a cop in my truck with that thing in the passenger seat. And he just, you know, they just look at it and they look at me. I don't think they even want to deal with me. I think they just don't even want to give me a ticket to just let me go.
Really?
Yeah, I have a broken taillight in my truck, man, and I get pulled over all the time. And when I got pulled over that one night with the Ouija board in my truck, that was the first time, like, the cop within a minute said, have a good night. Didn't even ask for my insurance, driver's license. He just said, have a good night. And this was, like, 4 in the morning.
Damn. So in order for me, I mean, because, you know, I'm not stereotyping anything. As a black man, you know, every now and again we get pulled over by the cops. If I have a Ouija board, I ain't got to worry.
You know, he won't fuck with you, man. Just throw it in your back seat, you know, so when they walk up on your car and flash that light in the back car, you know, they'll see the little Ouija board and the, like, yeah, I think I'll let this guy go.
All right.
Try it, man. Give me a call. Let me know how that goes.
Maybe I'll take a picture.
But yeah, the Ouija board, you know, a lot. It's we really don't use that as much as anymore. We did use it a lot in the beginning, just because it was, I don't know, We've thought about using like a psychic or medium in an investigation, and a Ouija board is kind of like seen as a type of way to communicate with spirits, you know, if you don't have a medium. So
right.
We just kind of tried it out. I mean, it's a Milton Bradley, Parker Brothers board game. Who knows, you know, but Joe and TJ here, you know, they've had like crazy ass experiences when they were kids using it, and you know, that's kind of what got this whole thing started with the Ouija board. So,
okay, so let me ask you this: Are y'all into the cult / witchcraft?
I personally am not. I'm interested in what they do. It's a good reading material to see what other people believe and see how they feel they contact other, I guess, spirits, you would say. I don't know if I fully believe. I've never actually really met somebody who has experienced it. I think it would be interesting to meet somebody who is fully into it to get a better understanding of it myself.
I think TJ worships Satan.
Nah, I don't do any of that. I think he worships the devil.
I swear, man, I thought he worshipped Satan when I first met him. No.
When you talk about the cult / witchcraft, I mean, you're talking about dealing with energies and whatnot. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, scientists, on the other hand, talk about dimensions and things vibrating on different frequencies, which is sort of in the ballpark. I mean, do y'all believe in that, like the scientifical?
Well, that's one thing I think what we're trying to do is, you know, when we go on these ghost hunts and when we're looking for to get this paranormal activity, we're actually, I think what we use a lot of scientific equipment is, I mean, for the technology that's out there to capture energy that's around, the theory behind a ghost of is that they give off an energy, and there's tools that are out there, like the EMF detector, which we use, is one of them that measures the electromagnetic field, which ghosts are supposedly give off when their presence is around. So we're using some tools right now that will indicate that they're around, and I think that that technology is available to us. We're going to definitely use it.
Okay, so how do y'all choose an investigation?
It just begins with Googling. Fortunately, we live in San Diego where, I swear to God, everywhere you walk, man, it's supposedly haunted. You go online, you find all these places, you know. And we try to find the more popular ones, and probably some of the ones that are not as popular, which people are like, you know, it's reports of haunted, so there's, you know, there was never an actual investigation done, so we'll go there. And one of my, like, personal favorite ones so far was the Julian Hotel. And that's way out, way, way, way out in the boonies. And, you know, when we were reading about it, it says evil spirits, demonic energies, not just, you know, your typical ghost, I guess you would say. So without the team really knowing, when I showed up, I brought 5 candles, you know, and I set it up in a satanic fashion. And I kind of, like, regret doing that. But when we do these investigations, we try to choose places that are more demonic, evil spirits. You know, that's kind of like what I'm more interested and fascinated with than just the ghost of Wyatt Earp or something. So,
okay.
I mean, if we could get some of these fallen angels or something, you know, on camera, or, I mean, if you get possessed, you get possessed. I mean, whatever, like, as long as we get it on video.
We already know to pull each other out of the room if something crazy goes on. We're pulling them out, dragging and screaming.
I saw that, and I'm like, well, y'all lost me right there. You don't care whether you're possessed or not. See, that's enough. I want to hang with y'all, but y'all not giving me one center.
You know, we just won't tell you much when you come with us.
Yeah, but I hear it. I'm out.
No, but I'll tell you, it's a bed and breakfast, man. You'll enjoy the food.
Yeah, okay. I didn't see no bed and breakfast in this video. That didn't look like, oh, this is the party spot right here.
Yeah, you know,
well, well, it's funny because I think we each have our own different views on what we expect from each investigation. I know Brian's, you know, I'm fascinated by the prospect of the demons and finding that. I don't know how, if I'm really that excited to be possessed, but I would like to find out how to avoid that and how to help myself if I get to that point. But, you know, I truly just want to capture anything that's out of the ordinary, something that, you know, can be evidence that some people can look at and really question, and that's what excites me.
I wanted to ask you, not to cut you off, when you run into a spirit, if you was to run into a spirit, what would you do?
CJ, you want
to? Just, like, if we run into one, we just try to make contact with it. Like, we have voice recorders, EVPs, electronical voice phenomenon. So we just try to communicate with them, and then we'll do, like, 15-minute sessions. So we'll see if, because you can't hear them with your own ears most of the time. So we'll do a session, play it back, and see what they respond to mostly, and try to take pictures in an area that all the stuff is happening while we communicate. And if we get communication, then we'll just stay in that area for a little while.
Yeah. Man.
Like, if they touch us, because sometimes you'll feel like a touch or just some kind of whisper, or you just get it on the EVP, you'll hear, like, them trying to talk through that.
Hold on. You said you feel them touching you? Now, I saw where you were talking about something touching my hair. You're saying that they can really touch you? You can feel them touching you?
It would be more like a static, like it'd feel kind of staticky, but like you feel like the energy. Like you'll be in an area that's no wind or nothing, and you'll just feel like the energy touch you. Like you'll feel something if they have enough energy to do that, because it takes a lot of energy for them to actually make contact with you also. So.
Hmm. Okay.
And I'm not going to lie, you know, meeting with a ghost and seeing a ghost, and I will, like Brian did in his video, I would probably have jumped out of the bed just by hearing that noise at the Hotel Del. But it's very adrenaline rush, I think, is the best way for me to describe it, is you hear something and temperature changes, you feel, like he says, that energy, that presence around you. It's just that uneasy feeling, you know something's there, all your emotions and everything are up at top, and it's just a weird feeling, and everyone reacts differently. Like, I think the first thing Brian ever said when we started this was he would never jump up and run away from these things, and the first time he encountered one, he flew out of a bedroom.
Yeah, my first session, like, my first EVP by myself, it was only a half hour. I was all ready for it, and then as soon as they left the room, I just froze up. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. I was just, like, sitting there. I didn't want to move.
Man, why do y'all leave the room? Why can't y'all stay together?
Well, because usually the spirits or whoever you're interacting with is scared or intimidated by, like, a group of people. So one-on-one is usually better if they're not communicating with you as a group.
Why do you think that they would be scared of a group of people who reasonably can't do them any harm?
You know, that it kind of goes back to the theory of ghosts in general. You know, sometimes they don't realize that they're dead, and they look at us as actually being ghosts. You know, like we're haunting them, but actually they're haunting us. So.
I've never heard it put that way before.
Yeah, there's many theories of ghosts, you know, and that's one of the big ones. The people, you know, we will go to the Hotel Del, you know, we try to make contact with this spirit, but sometimes the spirit doesn't realize that they're actually dead. So when you're there and you're trying to communicate with them, you're telling them, hey, you're dead. You're not alive. Do you know this isn't your room? Do you know it's the year 2011, you know? So when you tell them that, you know, hopefully it could, like, they'll come out and talk to you, because they're probably just as scared as you are, you know? I mean, that's just, like, one of the things that's possible, but it's kind of like when people have their own paranormal experience, it's usually when, you know, they're by themselves. was when they were sleeping or walking in the hallway, and then they seemed to interact with that one individual. So, you know, we'll start off our sessions at a location one-on-one. We'll each take turns, and then, you know, after a few hours, we'll do like a team investigation where we just all just go at it with EVPs, Ouija board, videotaping, asking questions, taking photos, and all that. So you're more than welcome to come when you're in San Diego.
I'm in San Diego frequently. As I was talking to you, I lived in San Diego for 20 some odd years. I just moved out of San Diego to the Bay Area earlier last year. So, and I'll be down there real soon.
So you know of all the locations then. You know of like Old Town, the Whaley House, and Hotel Del.
I mean, I've heard in passing. I can't say that I actively pursued trying to, like I said, catch up to some crazy ghosts.
Oh, then we're going to have to take you.
Unless he's got a place up there for us.
Do you guys go to the Comic Con?
Absolutely, every year.
Then I definitely see y'all. I go to the Comic Con every year also. I haven't missed one since I've been in San Diego.
All right, well, we'll be the geeks over there by, like, the Star Wars and
Ghost Adventures
Ghost
table.
Adventures booth and, you know, the Luke Rigno Incredible Hulk.
Hey, I'm a geek, too.
Yep, we all are, man. I'm the biggest nerd, dude. I'm going to go there and I'll be broke.
Yeah, I'm not fronting. That's my thing, Comic-Con. Now, back to the dead here. I read that y'all were talking about making a documentary. And, you know, how's that?
Well, that kind of came about because I kind of want to focus the documentary on Old Town here in San Diego. And Old Town itself is haunted itself. There's so much history in that place. And during Halloween every year, they have these ghost tours, you know, and they take you on these places. And what I want to do is kind of like really showcase Old Town and its haunted hotspots, like all the paranormal hotspots, and actually talk with these people who know of the history and will let us actually do an investigation there. I think there's 5 that I know of right now in just Old Town. And just San Diego itself, I mean, there's hundreds of places for us to go. And I kind of want to, you know, do the true story of paranormal activity, like the real deal, like the real paranormal activity, not some movie, you know, with Hollywood special effects. You know, I want to put a documentary of just San Diego haunted locations, people believing that they're getting possessed, and just put it together as a compilation. And, I don't know, maybe submit it to one of those independent film festivals, but it's probably going to take a while for it to complete.
No, that's real cool. I mean, now I wanted to ask, why do you think that San Diego, you know, of all places, is more haunted than other places?
Well, I mean, we kind of just focused on San Diego because, I mean, when you're a paranormal investigator, you put more money into it than you really get, unless you're, you know, one of those few lucky ones out there. But you kind of focus in your area. So when we researched San Diego, we just found all this history. But I don't think we're as, you know, have as many ghosts or haunted hot-like spots as, you know, let's say Dallas, Texas. I'm sure everywhere has got their own, you know, good amount of hauntings, but I guess San Diego is just one of those places. It's a really old city. You know, there's a lot of Spanish settlers from a long time ago and Native Americans, and there's a lot of, you know, wrongful deaths, and especially from the 1800s when they used to just hang people left and right because you know, stole a loaf of bread or a bottle of whiskey.
I'm from New Orleans, so I understand that, and that the whole voodoo history and all that, that is really big down there.
Yeah, I
want to
go there.
it's very interesting.
I want to check out Louisiana, man. that place alone, from the stories I've heard, you know, we kind of like fund our own investigations, and we take these trips, so we start recycling our cans pretty soon.
I understand, man. You know, I'm an independent also. I know how that goes. You got to come out of pocket for everything. You do it for the love.
That's right. That's all.
That's the big key is we, the three of us, the three, how we found each other, and we really enjoy doing this. It's really a interesting experience to do with these two guys.
Okay. Now, I got, now, if you mean as far as in your investigations, whatnot, say you, I ask you what you would do. Now, do you have any mechanisms or anything to, like, capture or contain a spirit?
You mean like the box from Ghostbusters?
No, we don't have proton packs. But that would be pretty sick. That shit would be pretty cool. I ain't gonna lie. But, you know, I don't think... I don't know, maybe they'll get trapped in one of our bodies, like Joe or TJ or something, and I'll videotape it. And you know, I'll try and call a priest or something, but I'm definitely going to videotape it first. That's the priority.
Yeah, I don't. As far as I think all the research we've done, we haven't been able to find anyone who has any such devices that actually physically contain and capture a ghost. And I think the best thing out there is video evidence, and that's always scrutinized and debated by everybody.
Right.
But if we can develop something like that, we will definitely try.
Yeah, well, obviously, if I could develop something like that, I'd be Bill Gates.
I'd patent it right away.
Hell with Windows, I got this right here. I can catch ghosts.
Like, what you got?
Yeah. Now tell the people where they can catch up to you guys to check out your investigation and your videos and whatnot.
Right now, the best way if you want to find out what we're doing and find out our latest videos and upcoming investigations, go to facebook.com/teamproject13. And make sure 13 is the number 13. Don't actually type the word, the number. But facebook.com/teamproject13, and through there you guys should get to our website and profiles and check out our videos, photos, and send us messages.
Okay. And if they wanted to just hang out with y'all on the investigation.
You know, people ask that all the time, you know, and I'm trying to put something together where we actually can bring people along with us and do these haunted tours, you know, from like 10 o'clock at night to 5, 6 in the morning or something.
Yeah,
I'm sure people would love to join in on that.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Well, just, you know, if people want to join us, just send us a message through Facebook, man. That's the quickest way to get a response from us.
All right.
Yeah, Facebook.
I don't know. You talking about... It's one thing to say an hour. Are you talking about 8 hours?
You know, it takes time. Sometimes, you know, the ghost is a little shy. They don't want to come out in an hour, you know. You got to warm up to them. They got to get to know you. So sometimes, you know, the 4 or 5, maybe 6 hour locations, you know, is just the right amount of time to get all the spirits to come out and communicate with you, you know.
But it's okay if you get scared within the first hour. We'll go ahead and let you out. You can go home early.
I'll get scared with you.
By myself. Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta stay by yourself though, man. Everyone's gotta take their turn.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
We only do the by yourself part. I think we're usually in there about 10 to 15 minutes each on our own, depending on what kind of activity we're getting. If we bring somebody else, we'll let them not be in there super long so that they don't just start terrifying themselves with the dark.
But I will lock your ass in there and make sure you don't leave.
Once again, you are not good at getting folks to come hang with you. You know this, right?
Yeah, you know, so maybe they'll just, like, watch our videos and just...
Yeah.
Sounds like come to watch us.
Video. Yeah, I'm going to stick to the video. This whole, you're going to lock me in the dark in a haunted place, that's just not funny, man.
What's wrong with that, man? I'll give you a camera. You'll be okay? Give you a bottle of water?
Oh, a camera. Yeah.
Maybe a walkie-talkie.
Yeah, okay. That'll work.
Just bang on the door.
I think you definitely need to at least try it once with us. We'll take it easy on you the first round.
We'll just go to a cemetery.
I'm coming with my whole crew. I'm not coming by myself. I'm coming with my crew, and we all gonna hug each other, and we're gonna hug it out.
Hey, you know, cops have rolled up on us before, and even we freaked them out. So they leave us alone.
I'm gonna come hang with y'all. I promise. When I hit San Diego, I'm gonna look y'all. I'm gonna hang with y'all, but. It might be in the daytime.
That's all right, man. You come with us and we'll set something up, man. I'll call the Whaley House tomorrow and I'll set something up. We'll all go inside there at night.
10 to 5, I don't know about.
Maybe 10 to 1.
We'll negotiate.
All right, well, let's see what we'll do. Maybe we'll air this online and everybody can watch us.
All right. Well, I want to thank you, brothers, for coming on the show, man. Y'all.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us on your show.
Hey, anytime, man. Anytime y'all got something happening, let me know. I mean, I'm a member of your site now anyway, so I'll be checking up on y'all. But like I said, anytime you got something going,
what we'll start doing is after investigations, we can go ahead and give you a call. We'll call you before and after and let you know what's going on and the new experiences.
That's way too much, homie.
Really? I can just call you from the location.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You're going to call me and the ghost is going to be on the line and it's going to come through and land in my house. I can't have
it. Yeah, then I'd be pissed off because that shit's supposed to be with me.
Yeah, so trust me, I want you to have it.
Well, I want to have it, so we're on the same page.
I don't want it.
Right.
I want to live vicariously through y'all.
All right.
All right, well, thank you guys for coming on. And once again, before you go, tell the people where they can catch y'all again.
Facebook.com/TeamProject13.
All right. If y'all want to be scared to death, look these brothers up.
All right. Thanks for having us.
All right. Thanks for coming on, sir.
Good night.
All right, Bart.
Thanks, man.
All right. Woo. Oh, my God. That was crazy. Project 13, Paranormal Investigator Supreme. Kind of scary, though. Are you talking about locking you in the door, locking you in the dark room with the ghost by yourself? Nah. We can't have no parts of that whatsoever. Ugh. On that note, go on a break here. This is, coincidentally, The Feeling in Prime.
Remember that feeling? This how hip hop used to make you feel, especially back then.
It was so real, it was like air. You remember how you felt
the first time you heard the bridge go? Oh. The first time?
Yeah.
I don't have that feeling anymore. Man.
As the moonlight is listening up off of Lake Michigan, I'm sitting with my pen and pad trying to reminisce again. But this time I'm reflecting on the music and the reason why I love it and I gravitated to my journey started in my big mama's basement, freestyling with my cousin with the Bone Thugs tape. I zoned out, can't remember what I was saying, but it must have been great by the look on their faces. It gave me the feeling I could only describe as ascended to the sky on a natural high. At lunch table, cypher spitting it with some of my guys, listening to Biggie instrumentals, learning to write. I was a hooper, but I pushed the basketball to the side. Forget Mike, really, I was trying to be like Tribe, yeah. And since then, I've been hugging the mic. Hip hop is the love of my life. We about to take it to the top, y'all.
You know you live for the love of music. Yeah. My heart, how I show. And I know you want your message. You know we do it for the love of music.
radio, but on radio waves. The fish kind of blind, that's the way it stays. So you can be the viper, pick a pepper, then ho, hey, hey. Nowadays I got fish to say. See every other rapper do the same old thing. Microphone check, one, two, blank, blank. Claiming you a hustler, then elevate the game. Yo, I used to love him, he was way too fresh. Not cause he was so hood or the way he dressed. He had a fat gold chain and some Adidas. Stayed hungry for the fame and the real success. Yes, see, he would always seem to hold me down when the R&B niggas flew out of town. He said, I need love, so we put it down. I'm here to resurrect the feeling of
the love. You know we do it for the love of music.
Pop is still living. We carrying a torch and resurrecting the feeling. To the beats, to the rhymes, to the shows at the park. To the lunchroom table where the phone gets split. Come on, get in your stance, cause if pop is still living. We carrying a torch and resurrecting the feeling. To the beats, to the rhymes, to the shows at the park. To the lunchroom table where the phone gets split. It's like.
Together you got to move.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was A Prime of the House of M, House of Mutants, The Feeling. Oh, speaking of The Feeling, now I know it was in the news and it was something, it's not necessarily that important, but I thought it was something that needed to be touched upon. The woman who came from Europe and got the silicone injections to get bigger butt, and it killed her. Claudia, and I'm going to say her name wrong, Adoratini, you know, of course, wanted a bigger ass. Now, some folks will say, why, you know, other folks would say, you know, it doesn't make sense why you would do that. I mean, because people are getting enhancements like their tattoos. Like there's no long-term health implications, whatnot. And for those people who will say, why would you get an ass implant? You know, what's the so-called obsession with the ass? Basically, have you ever really looked at a nice one? I mean, he doesn't like looking at a nice ass. I don't think there's a huge demand for a flat, non-jiggly booty. It may seem crass, but that's the truth. And unfortunately, people like Claudia, you know, they see that as something that's desirous and it's what they would do for fame because of the lack of education. You know? Now, why is there a lack of education? Albeit she is from Europe. I mean, we know that the ass is worshipped here in America. I mean, the ass is, I mean, we worship ass like there's no tomorrow on the low. But, you know, it's all about what priority is. I mean, we prioritize ass, big titties. We prioritize physical. We don't prioritize what we put into our minds. I mean, you know, there's been the whole, like the thing that's going on in Wisconsin and all across the country, the whole education funding crisis, which is expected to go. They threatened it 14,000 schools. There's a $140 billion shortfall. Now, why is there a shortfall? Yes, obviously there are things that we find more important. Like, you know, Jerry Jones in Dallas can build a $1 billion sports complex. And everybody's like, cool, that's the place we need to go. Then you'll get San Diego, for example, who was secretly pushing a $1 billion bill they had been working on through the legislature for months, since like October, where they had a choice. They could use their money to shore up the school situation, or they could use it for downtown with the so-called dream of creating thousands of new jobs, expanding the convention center, and, of course, the most important thing, the new professional football stadium. Because, of course, we got to keep the Chargers, right? Better than keeping the schools. And see, it's not a San Diego thing. I mean, L.A. passed the same thing. Schwarzenegger, before he left office, passed it where that the whole city of industry in creating a stadium for to entice a professional football team. So when we talk about shortfalls in the billions of dollars, it's because the allocation of the money are going not toward the fertilization of the children's minds, but more the miseducation of the children through the childhood fantasies and our love and infatuation with games, which is fine. I mean, you won't find a bigger sports fan than me. I love basketball. I love football. Shit, I love track. I can watch tennis every now and again. Volleyball, too. Now, the other sports where they don't move, like golf and all that, no. But my point is, yeah, I can get the whole sports, the release and all that, but I don't get how it gets top priority over the schools. So, like San Diego, all their money, instead of choosing to shore up the school system, they shored up the downtown project. Education be damned. And we know all across the country that's what's happened. Priorities. Zero priorities when it comes to what's really important. The kids. So you talk about this generation and why they are stupid. As some people call them, stupid, unmotivated, lazy. Shit. What are the adults doing? The adults have made them a priority. So if the adults don't care, why should the kids care? That don't make sense to anybody. Am I the only one that sees that the only thing that's important is the fact that we make sure that we have a football, basketball, and baseball stadium in every major city? Schools? Man, we don't need schools. We just build prisons so that we can put all the people that do bad in school and drop out. They just go to jail, work for free, right? On that note, I want to thank the brothers from Project 13 Paranormal Investigation for coming through and blessing the show. I want to thank you, the listeners, for listening. And I hope you all have a great weekend. I know I will. All-Star weekend. Watch a little basketball. Pretend like I can play a little bit. On that note, Dick Hugger, Smooth Drama, I'm out.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast, smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama. Smooth.